This week, November 18th, 2014, on The Digital Story, Dealing with Drones. A chat with StoryTag founder Nikki McKenna. And huge savings on the Olympus OMD-EM5. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm thrilled to have you here with me today. I have some interesting topics for you. We're going to do the weekly update and snapshot. Then for our first feature, we'll talk a little bit about drones and thinking about how do they fit into our photography landscape, if at all. And then I'm going to introduce you to an artist named Nikki McKenna, who has started a business called StoryTag that I think you'll find quite interesting. And then we have lots of other good bits and bobs. So I'm going to get going right now with this week's snapshot. Pelican on Treasure Island. When I have an assignment somewhere interesting, which hopefully is most of the time, what I usually try to do is get there a little early. For example, last week when I covered the DJI event for drones, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show, it was on Treasure Island in San Francisco, which is a really cool place. It's right off the Bay Bridge. It's not quite in the middle, but on one side you have Oakland and on the other side you have San Francisco. I got there about an hour and a half early and kind of wandered around a bit, and I found this spot over by the marina. There wasn't much going on there, so you know, I took a few snapshots, shot the east span of the Bay Bridge with the old bridge being destructed, being taken down behind it. And I was just sort of hanging out, enjoying the nice weather and the interesting scenery. And I spotted a pelican on a post in the marina, one of those kind of tall posts that they use at the end of docks. And he was just sitting there watching the world go by and wasn't paying much attention to me. And at the moment, I wasn't paying much attention to him either because he wasn't really doing anything. He was kind of squatted down. But then after a little bit, he decided he wanted a snack. So he got up and started flying out over the water. He would dive down and go fishing. And after a little while, he would come back in and land on his post. And I started to figure out a little bit of a pattern here. And I was going, wow, that would be kind of a neat shot to see him coming in for landing on this post. And I had a good lens for doing that. I was using the 75mm f1.8 on the Olympus OMD-EM1. And I was figuring, well, if I just shoot wide open with it, I could make a nice soft background and hopefully I could capture him in flight as he's coming in for a landing. And of course, shoot in burst mode and play with the exposure a little bit. I knocked it down a bit so that he wasn't overexposed. The light was good, by the way. It was pretty late in the afternoon, so I had some good afternoon light. So sure enough, I'd be watching him, and I'd pre-focus on the post, figuring that he was going to probably come in pretty much right on that same plane, of which he did. He did do that. And I watched him, and as he came in for landing, I just started shooting, trying to keep the horizon line straight as I panned, got some pretty decent shots. And then a few minutes later, he went fishing again, and I go, all right, I'm going to get another crack at him. And sure enough, goes out fishing, comes back in, and I got to shoot a second series. They just look great. They're just so neat. And so my takeaway on this is a couple things. One is I'm almost always rewarded when I get to an assignment early. There's almost always some kind of shot that I get that I would not have captured otherwise. And then the other is just relaxing and paying attention and watching the patterns of the world around you. And when you start to piece them together, when you start to notice something that's going on, then you can put yourself in position as a photographer to anticipate a good shot, and if you're lucky, capture it. And if you're interested in seeing the Pelican Shop, it is at the top of our The Digital Story Facebook page, and it's also on my photo stream on Flickr, flickr.com. So you can see that shot either place. But I just felt really neat about it, and it put things on a really good note heading into the assignment, which I also enjoyed, and we'll talk about a bit more in our feature story later in the show. And that is this week's snapshot. I have some newsy items for you on the weekly update. Item number one, $400 savings on the Olympus OMD EM5. So it's now available for $599 until the inventory is depleted. And I have a link in the show notes to B&H Photo where you can get it. And I think they're even throwing in a goodie, like a case or something, along with it. The word on the street is that there's going to be a replacement coming for the EM5 in early 2015. And that makes sense. I think once the OM10 came onto the scene and really made a big splash, people really like it. And it has some features that the M5 doesn't have. And really the only thing that it's lacking that is in the EM5 is the weather sealing, which is a big deal for certain kinds of shoots. I know I'm taking the EM5 as my backup camera to my trip to Cuba. And also the EM5 has a 5-axis stabilizer and the EM10 has a 3-axis. But then beyond that, I tell you, they're pretty comparable cameras, all things considered. So at any rate, I think we're going to see a replacement for it. But I'll tell you, getting the EM5, which is a heck of a camera, I shoot with mine all the time, for $599 is quite the deal. And it is to be had until inventory runs out. And then after that, we'll probably see the replacement for it. In other news, Canon has released their update for the EF 100 to 400, F4.5 to 5.6, IS2. So the original lens came out in 1998. That is a long time ago for a lens. And, you know, it's been going strong that whole time, but it was time for a refresh, and they just released it. Now, I'm going to read this. This is from a DP review. The lens itself is slightly taller, wider, and heavier than the original, but the move to a rotating zoom design should resolve problems associated with dust being sucked in during operation. It also offers 3 image stabilization modes and offers 4 stops of stabilization compared to 1.5 in the previous model. The new lens will automatically lock the IS elements when it detects a tripod in use. And again, that is from DP Review, and I have the link in the show notes. It's going to sell, I believe, for about $2,200, and it looks like a nice lens. The design itself is handsome. So if you need a long, high-quality telephoto, you might want to take a look at this, especially if you have a Canon mount camera in your camera bag. And finally, I have a rumor for you. Sigma's much-anticipated 24mm f1.4 art lens may finally arrive in Q1 of 2015. So this, wow. I tell you, their art lenses have really been something lately. And for them to come out with a 24mm f1.4, that would be cool. Now, what I don't know about this lens is, will it work on full-frame cameras or is it only the crop sensors? We don't know that yet, or I don't know that. I mean, this is just a rumor. But is one that I think is definitely worth following, because either way, to have a fast semi-wide lens that would work on Sony, Canon, Nikon mounts, that's a pretty cool thing. And I'll tell you, their track record for the art lenses has been quite good. So that is this week's weekly update. story number one, dealing with drones. This has been very interesting for me the last couple weeks. So I found out that I was going to be going to the DJI event, like I said, a couple weeks ago. And I haven't been, I'll be honest with you right now, haven't been a huge fan of drones. Not so much that I don't see their value. There are certain applications where I think they are darn useful and can save photographers a lot of money. For example, if you need overhead shots of a building for a video that you're making or even still photography, getting your hands on a drone is going to be far more cost effective than renting a helicopter and going up there and you know, maybe dealing with the airspace issues or whatever other challenges you have. I can see the value of drones for mapping, for those types of shots that would be very difficult to get, you know, if you had to rent a helicopter or maybe just couldn't get at all. On the other hand, of course, they can be an annoyance depending on how the pilot is using them. I remember when I was in the Eastern Sierra recently scouting, I was hiking along a stream that fed into Grant Lake. And it was a really nice stream. The aspens were in color and it was quiet. There wasn't a lot of people around. And I was getting some good shots and just having kind of a nice zen moment there. And I heard this, you know, coming at me, and I'm looking around, and sure enough, there was a drone just sort of, you know, buzzing around me, and I mean, it didn't get too close. It was probably at the closest, you know, 15 or 20 feet away, but of course, you know, there in that setting, it might as well have been a helicopter, you know, landing on my head. That's the way it felt. And then the other thing is, you don't really know what it's going to do. You don't know what the pilot's going to do. And there's sort of this unknown factor about it. And it was very distracting. It was very distracting. And I was really happy when it finally went away. And I felt like it intruded on my space there. And that, you know, had a strong sense of that. You know, during those moments that it was right there over my head. And it sort of reminded me, I thought at the time of a video I saw on YouTube of, I think it was a big bighorn sheep, I believe a male, and was being buzzed by a drone. And he just jumped up and knocked it down. And not only did he knock it down, he smashed it. He was really kind of upset about this whole thing. And then not only did he smash the drone, he saw the pilot off in the distance there, and he took off after him. And I can sort of relate to that. I sort of had a similar feeling when I was up there in the Eastern Sierra. So I would say, you know, that's sort of the bad side, along with people who are not keeping up on the rules and regulations for the use of drones in our national parks and other areas, where they're either restricted or you need permission or they're forbidden altogether. We've seen stories where people have been fined, photographers have been fined for crashing a drone into, you know, some sort of protected area in a national park. And that is definitely a no-no. So there are these pros and cons. Now, the fact of the matter is, from what I can tell, is that these devices are here to stay. They're getting more sophisticated all the time. For example, the Inspire 1 that was announced by DJI at this event I went to, it is a quadcopter, so it has four blades, has excellent piloting capability, even has auto takeoff and auto land. The controllers are very sophisticated now, have LCD screens, and are much easier to operate than before. Has its own camera on a gimbal, so it's very light. You know, the whole thing is designed as one unit. It's not like trying to put a DSLR on one. And the camera itself will shoot 12 megapixel stills and capture in RAW format, Adobe DNG. Or if you want to shoot video, you can shoot high-res video all the way up to 4K, 4K video with this device. It'll stay up in the air for about 17 minutes before the batteries poop out and you need to change them. It's very maneuverable, much quieter than some of the other drones that I've seen. So it is quite a device, and without the controller, I believe it sells for $2,800. And then you can have up to two controllers for it, which is kind of neat. One person can pilot the drone with one controller, and another person with a controller can focus on taking pictures and capturing video, which I think is pretty neat. That seems like a good division of labor to me. And those controllers, I think, are another $400 a pop or something like that. So let's say that, you know, for the whole thing, you're looking at $5,000, which is not chump change. I mean, that is an investment. But when you think about for certain types of shoots that you could spend that much money just on one shoot with a helicopter and the gear needed, fuel, all that sort of stuff, then, you know, it looks like, wow, this is much more reasonable. And then you have the device, you know, going forward for anything else that you want to do. Someone asked me if I was going to buy one. You know, did I like it so much I was going to buy one? I said, no, I'm not going to spend the money on it. However, I could see in certain situations that renting one would make sense if you needed a type of shot that this device could get and you could rent it somewhat affordably. That seems like a pretty good solution. Bottom line on these things, I am conflicted. I am absolutely conflicted. Here's what I want to say. It's like so many other things in life. When they're used responsibly and intelligently, they follow the rules and regulations, and they're respectful of people's privacy and, you know, the situation at hand, then I think they're actually a useful tool. However, if they're used to invade people's privacy, if they're not used in a respectful way, if they're flown in places where they're not supposed to be up in the air, and if they put people in harm's way, not so much from the drone itself, but from maybe the sort of interference it could create, then I'm very much against it. So I'm thinking that probably the solution as we move forward with these devices is just to be very clear about how they can be used in, you know, these different areas in the city of San Francisco, for example, where I hang out a lot, in our national parks, in those sort of places, and have photographers have to follow the rules and use them appropriately. So I guess that's my bottom line. Playing by the rules and being respectful, I think they're a useful tool. Otherwise, I think it's just like anything else. You break the rules, you should pay the price. Story number two, a chat with StoryTag founder Nikki McKenna. So what is StoryTag? I didn't know myself, actually, until I was introduced to Nikki. And it's really about helping people tell a story one chapter at a time. And the bottom line output from Nikki's work is a book, sort of like a blurb book, for example, that has photographs either captured by a photographer at a wedding or images that you've collected over the year. The images could come from anywhere that tell a story that Nikki then helps you tell by interviewing you and maybe others that are involved, really getting to the essence of what the story is about, and then writing it for you and designing the book and integrating the words with the pictures into this package that she can just hand you. And boy, I saw some of these things and they're terrific. So I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. We have a chat with her, then let her tell us in her own words what she sees in the future with StoryTag and why she's excited about it. Then I'll jump back and I'll do a little wrap up. But right now, let's see what Nikki has to say. So I'm sitting here with Nikki McKenna, and she is the founder of StoryTag. Hey, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great.
Good. I'm
really happy that you're here with us today. So what I'd like you to do is sort of explain just a little bit about what StoryTag is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll kind of drill down a little bit. But let's give them kind of an overview of the situation.
Yeah, sounds good. So it started as a solution that I really had as a busy working mom. And the average person, not the pro photographer, is completely overloaded with the number of images we now have with digital phones and cameras. And so a lot of people have, and especially after you start having kids, you really want to do something with these pictures, but you have 10,000. And so doing something with them became a bit overwhelming. I started off as a service to help people kind of organize them and get them into a format that's easy to use and engaging, pick out the right ones, put it into an album. But the part that I really loved was this story. So I loved talking to them about what happened. And it was a skill I sort of acquired from a previous life, but really understanding how to interview someone and understand that it wasn't just a Disney vacation, but it was a time when mom got to say yes more than she said no, and write that into the book. And this becomes something that's so overwhelmingly personal and valuable for them. It was a way to really make this something more than they ever could have expected.
So what we're talking about here really is a book.
Yeah.
That has pictures.
Yes.
And it has a story that you've written based on your interviews with these people. So it's not just a book with pictures, nor is it just a diary. It's sort of the merging of these two things.
Absolutely. And when somebody helps you, you know, if you're just to write your own story, it becomes captions because you can't write. But when you talk, the story comes out. And so I'm able to kind of pull that out and write it. So it's really in your own words, but it's sort of your best self. You know, it's your most inspired self.
So if you go to StoryTag.com, if someone that's listening right now goes to StoryTag.com, what they're going to see are examples and options for this thing that you're talking about, this wonderful thing where you get to capture someone's life experience. It could be a wedding, right? Mm-hmm. It could be anniversary. It could be any number of things. A new child.
Absolutely. So now we're working. So you mentioned weddings. We are starting to work a lot closer with wedding photographers to do that. And what we found is it works really well for them as well. So it's a wonderful product for weddings, and brides just, they love it. But it really works for photographers for a few things. So there's a few things happening in the industry that I found that this really helps with. And one is declining sales of wedding albums. When albums are such a wonderful thing for a bride to have, sometimes they don't quite know it at the time. And so it's a hard thing to purchase, especially with digital pictures. But it's also a good way for the photographer to monetize the imagery that they took. So it's a great thing. Unfortunately, it's sort of declining. And so I see this as a way to kind of reinvigorate that market. And now you're selling something that's very differentiated from just a typical wedding album. The other thing it helps with is this kind of trend in wanting wedding photojournalism. So instead of wanting just the canned shots of a wedding, you know, the brides really want you to capture their story. And so especially for brides that really want to tell their own personal story in a wedding, having a storybook, which is what we call the StoryTag albums, is a storybook, becomes something incredibly personal and just timeless. So it's sort of a way for a photographer who wants to be a wedding photojournalist to sort of monetize that value that they bring.
Let's say I'm a freelance photographer.
Yeah.
And I shoot some weddings, let's say 4 or 5 weddings a year. But there's a lot of people shooting weddings in my neighborhood or in my area. And I go, I'm a good photographer. I know that I can do a good job for these people. Now, the thing is getting them to choose me over, you know, someone else. If I offered something like this, and you know, using my pictures and then using your talents as a designer and as a storyteller, then I can present them the pictures in the ways that they want. Let's say they want an online gallery, all that stuff. And I can differentiate myself by also providing this wonderful book you know, that they can have afterwards that goes way beyond probably anything else that they could get from someone that I'm competing with. Is this the way they look at it?
Absolutely. I think they look at it, some of them look at it just that way, as a wonderful way to differentiate themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to think about what your brand is and what your key value is to your client. And if you are somebody who's really kind of personal with your client and you tend to attract clients that really do want to tell this kind of personal story, it's a perfect way for you to kind of really augment that and make sure that that comes through in your product portfolio. And it really does differentiate yourself. It's also something that I think as a photographer starts growing their business or finding other things that's kind of taking their time, so they want to make more money for less time, they can look for things to outsource that aren't as productive for them. You know, they can kind of look for people who could do that for a little bit more efficiently. And albums is one of those things.
Yes, so because they've already taken the pictures.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they can outsource to you. You're, from the client's point of view, you're part of their business, essentially.
Yep.
But from their point of view as business people, then they can give you what they've already done. And then you create another product. And you're right, it doesn't take a lot of their time.
It's about as easy as getting the pictures off your camera, because you share all of the pictures with StoryTag, and then we set up a time to talk with the bride. We set up a time, we organize the pictures and put them into a flow. We get the design. We have graphic designers. We make sure we understand what the client wants for design, so we can kind of mix and match and make sure it's really targeted and specific to the bride. And then we handle getting edits from you and from the bride. We incorporate those edits, and we actually upload it to the supplier. So we've really done all of those steps for you, and you just get to offer something that's unique and differentiated to the bride.
And that supplier, that could be Blurb, it could be any number of, that part of it is, you know, the photographer says, hey, I usually work with Blurb, I like this book or that book, and you go, that's fine, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we work with InDesign, so it's the design kind of goes wherever. And I think, you know, I've heard that that process at the end of it is something that kind of does hold photographers up from completing the wedding album. It's kind of a pain in the
butt the tush.
For them sometimes to get those edits. So that's actually a value we bring as well, to kind of wrapping up that end deliverable.
So that's neat. And so as a photographer, I think I've got my head around that. What's the response of the people that actually then received this book? I mean, what happens there?
It's been incredibly rewarding. I don't think I've done a book yet that I didn't get a response of, oh my gosh, I was in tears. There's something hugely powerful with having your own story honored and presented with art. And, you know, you see your own words, but they're written as just the best version of yourself. And it's a story that's incredibly personal and meaningful to you, and we've captured it. So they're overwhelmingly positive about the deliverable. And interestingly, they're actually surprisingly positive about the experience itself. They find that interview is a nice time of reflection after an important day. So not only do they like the book, but they like the interview as well.
I can see that. I mean, it's just the thing where if something's troubling you and you want to talk to a friend, and the friend just sits there and listens and nods and stuff. And let's say the friend never says anything. Mm-hmm. And then after the end of the talk, the person goes, I feel so much better having discussed this with you.
Yeah.
The fact that someone's actually verbalizing their story to you as part of the interview probably feels really good to them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are as kind of passive as we can be and still encouraging kind of the deeper story to come out. So they say things they didn't necessarily know they would have thought. And so that's all, yeah, feels very good for them.
You have a couple different things going on with StoryTag. I know that during the holidays, you have a way that people can experience this, whether photographers that want to get a feel for how you work or even end users. So tell us a little bit about what's going on right now.
So for the holidays, there's a few options that photographers could use to kind of make use of the holidays with StoryTag. The first is to give it as a gift themselves. So photographers have beautiful images, and if they want to give that to someone in their life, that makes a great gift. A second is for end-of-the-year family shoots. It's a wonderful capstone for the family for the end of the year. We can incorporate pictures from the year along with the professional photographs that the photographer took. So it's a wonderful capstone for the family, but it's also a time for a photographer to sort of upsell on an album that wouldn't normally have made sense. So they can easily double the revenue that they get from a photo shoot. And the third is what we're offering for the holidays is I'm really excited about it as being kind of a bite-sized way to experience StoryTag. I think the holiday letters have sort of gone the way of homemade bread. I mean, I think we don't do them because it takes a little bit too much time. In the same way that we can help people with storybooks, we can help them sort of upgrade their holiday cards to holiday letters and take it off their to-do list as well. So three ways, I think, to use StoryTag for the holidays.
So I'm fascinated by the holiday letter thing. So they would gather up some of the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have a phone call with you.
Yep.
You would chat with them a little bit. And then next thing you know, they have this wonderful, unique holiday letter that they can mail out.
So it's $125 for a set of 50 cards. And that includes the design, printing, paper. So in the conversation, we talk about what they want to say for the year. We also talk about get a sense for what kind of design they like. So now we can tailor the design to them, pick out the pictures that work, write it up into a letter, let them review it, make any comments, and then we wrap it up, print it, and ship it to their door.
That's a steal. I have to tell you, that is really cool.
Because there's really not a solution to do this on Tiny Prints or some of the solutions. They're really kind of getting you to do cards. So there really is an option to use that design for a letter. So what we can do is kind of give you the design of any kind of tiny print you want, but also the ability to put a letter. So yeah, it looks nicer. It kind of comes across a little bit more professionally.
You know, mainly, most of the folks that are listening right now are photographers. A lot of them do freelance work. So if you were to leave them with one or two takeaways that you wanted them just to remember about StoryTag, what would that be?
Well, I think as you're trying to grow your business and differentiate yourself, if you're trying to differentiate yourself as a personal storyteller and someone who wants to connect with their story, I think StoryTag represents an awesome opportunity to set yourself apart and add huge value for your client that really is pretty impressive. And it's for no work on your part.
Yeah, I think that's really cool because, again, you've already done the pictures. You've already found the client. And now you can do something that's really fantastic, building on the investment that you've already made, but you don't have to spend it that much more time.
Absolutely.
And you get to be around when they enjoy it, right?
You'll want to be. It's really moving.
The place to go is storytag.com/products. And Nikki, I'm so glad you're able to stop by and talk about this a bit. And I'm telling you guys right now, she's still here, but I'm going to say it anyway. This holiday letter thing is really something I think you should take a look at. And then look at all the other products. And as you're thinking about 2015, think about how you can make your photography more compelling. And I think telling a story like this is a great way to go. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? I'm sort of excited about it. So I have just a couple follow-ups. Of course, the URL is storytag.com. And if you go to the products page, just take a look at the pro page. There's a link there. And that's for those of us who are photographers that may want to work with Nikki to offer this to people that we do shoots for. And also the link to the holiday letters is there too, which I think is this great introduction to StoryTag. And I'm really glad that they're doing that right now. And the other thing I want to mention is that if you do the holiday letter, that the price of the holiday letter comes off the first book. So yeah, you can, there you go. So the holiday letter is $150. I believe the average book is $800. And so your first book would be $650 and you have the holiday letter. So, I mean, this is pretty exciting stuff. So I really appreciate Nikki coming on and I'm sort of excited about it. If you have a moment, go over to storytag.com, take a look at this and think about how you can incorporate it into what you're doing with your photography and your storytelling. Story number three. The first annual Nimble store sale. So to celebrate of 1 year of online Nimbleosity, that's right, the Nimble store has been open for a year. We're in the middle of a doozy of a sale. Now this sale goes until Monday, November 24th. I didn't want a lukewarm sale. I wanted a good sale. So for example, the Walking Man shoulder bag, which is, our most popular item, and the stainless steel water bottle kit is on sale for $29.95. So that's over 30% off. You get a quality stainless steel hiking water bottle. You get the Walking Man shoulder bag, which is usually $29.95 by itself. And you get the whole kit and caboodle, $29.95. And there are some other goodies in there too. We have a Walking Man cap on sale, all sorts of good stuff. And so if you're interested in some of this gear, go over there, go to thenimblephotographer.com, take a look, go to shop, and you'll see all the goodies. They got a nice little sale banner on them and all that. But if you're going to do that, make sure you do it before November 24th, because after that, sale goes off. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. The photo assignment for November is layers, and you have till the end of the month to submit your entry. And if you have any questions about that, just go to the member info page and there'll be everything you need. But basically, you take your picture, you make it an attachment, and you send an email to me. And the details about that are on the member info page. So off you go there. And there are no size restrictions. Just send the photo any way you want, and I'll grab it. We also have, we got a special from Red River Paper right now. They updated our landing page, and I got a note from someone. The code had expired for the last offer, so we got that all fixed now. So our landing page, which you get to by clicking on the Red River Paper tile in any pages of the digital story, now is featuring a new code that will allow you to save 10% off your next order of inkjet paper and greeting cards. 10% off. One per customer, and the discount code, I'll tell you right now, is STORY10X, STORY, the numbers 10 and X, the letter X. And of course, if you go over to our landing page, it'll be right there. This offer expires on January 15th, 2015. And brought to us by the good folks at Red River Paper, who also have this wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Sizzle Picks also has a sale going on right now, and theirs is to the end of November, so we're kind of getting close to the end of this one here. And that's a 20% discount on all Sizzle Picks ordered now through the end of November. In the comment field on the Sizzle Picks order page, write TDS 20% discount, and they will deduct that from your order. So 20% discount to the end of November, that should be good motivation for you not to procrastinate. And that's at sizzlepicks.com, sizzlpix.com. Alrighty, so I think that's going to do it for today. I know I ran a little long, but I really wanted to include that interview with Nikki because I just think it's a really cool idea, and I appreciate people who tell stories. So that will do it for me this week. I'm looking forward to seeing you again, about 7 days from now. I've got some great stories. Make sure you come back and see me. Until then, bye-bye now.